Today on Path of Grace.
I've never heard of a fox or a badger looking around saying, "Man, there's got to be a better way to stay warm in the winter. How about we build a fire? What about some sort of automated centralized heat for this den? And while we're at it, how about redesigning the den so that we have some nice windows facing the lake? A den with a view. I want something like that." Nope. Mr. and Mrs. Fox and Mr. and Mrs. Badger are doing things the same way they've been doing things, seeing things the same way they've been seeing things, operating the same way they've been operating since the time of their great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. They haven't dreamed up or imagined any ways to try and create new circumstances for themselves and for the other badgers and foxes and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. They haven't thought of ways to change what they're doing to try and alter what they are currently experiencing. But again, think about people. Hey there, thank you so much for stopping in to visit with me today. Before we get started, one quick thing. If you have not yet listened to the previous audio here on the Path of Grace, which was entitled The Trip Along the Way, listen to that before moving on with this one. You can find that audio in the big archive. There should be a link at the top of this webpage that says The Big Archive and New Stuff. Click on that and look for a picture of a big old cruise ship, and that will be it. Again, it's called The Trip Along the Way. All right, let's get started. Quick question. When you open up the Bible to the very first page or the very first book, and you look at the very first verse, what is the first thing we read about God? What is it that God reveals to us first about Himself? Well, most translations say something like this: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The first thing we learn about God is that He is the Creator, which means that God is creative. God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the Hebrew word translated as created is the word bara. Now, I pretty much poorly pronounced that word because I can't roll my R's, and that word is supposed to have a rolling R-type sound, which is completely beside the point, but there are some folks who listen simply to try to find something wrong to send me an email, so I figured I'd point that out and let them know that I pronounced it incorrectly. That way they wouldn't have to bruise their fingertips typing an email to me about how I need to learn to roll my R's. I can't. I've tried. So I am simply stuck saying bara. So in the beginning, God bara. God created. Now this word, which I poorly pronounce, means to shape, fashion, or create. And Scripture refers to God not only as a creator, but also the potter, right? And we are the clay, where in His hands He shapes, fashions, and creates. This same word, bara, with a rolling R, can refer to new conditions and new circumstances. In the beginning, God created. That's the first thing we learn about God and who He is. He is the Creator, the Creative One, the originator of creativity. Next question. What is the first thing the Bible tells us about humans? Well, in that same chapter, the very first chapter of the Bible, down in verse 27, we're told that God created man in His own image. Then it goes on in the same sentence, and it emphasizes the same fact. In the image of God, He created them. Now, something interesting to note is that before it tells us about God creating man, Scripture tells us about the creation of all sorts of other living things. Things that live in the water, things that live on the dry land. You can read it for homework. Read it for yourself, Genesis chapter 1. But then when it comes to humans and God creating them, it says something that is not said about anything else. Did you catch it a moment ago? That God created humans in His image. Now, the word image means likeness. In other words, although you aren't God, and I am not God, there is something about us that is like God, unlike anything else in creation. It doesn't say anything else is created in His image. Now, think about God's creation and the things that God's creation makes. Now, notice I didn't use the word create, and that's intentional at this point. God's creation makes things, and you see those things that creation makes all around us. You look at nature, and you see created things making other things, and they're doing those things because they're programmed into their DNA. What do I mean? Think about birds. Different types of birds make different types of nests, and the way they make those nests is programmed right into their DNA. And if you happen to be a bird expert, you could look at the nest that a bird made without even looking at the bird. You could tell me what kind of bird made that nest simply based upon the building style of that nest. Here at my house, we have swallows that build nests out of mud, and they put them together under the eaves of the house. We also have a lot of dove nests in the trees
around
the house.
Cruise ship.
And interestingly enough, whenever the swallows' eggs hatch, those baby birds are already programmed to make nests in the exact same way. And when the baby doves are hatched, they already have it programmed into them to make nests out of grass. They're born with it hardwired into them. There is not a dove alive that has made new strides in nest making. And there are no swallows that have looked at the method of making nests out of mud and said, "Hey, you know what? I just had an idea on how we can improve this technique." Nope. They just do it. And it's been that way for thousands and thousands of years. Not much has changed for the swallows. Not a lot of innovative thought on their part. They wake up, they hunt for bugs, they find some mud, they work on their nest, they lay some eggs, they sit on the eggs, they hatch the eggs, then they feed those baby swallows, and when those baby swallows get a little bit bigger, they fly out of the nest, they hunt some bugs, they find some mud, they make a nest the same way their parents made their nest, even though those baby swallows weren't around to see their mom and dad make the nest. They just knew how to do it. Same way with the doves. And then there is man. Man made in the image of God. There's something different about man. Man thinks in a different way. Man reasons. Man looks at things. Man makes plans. Man has the ability to create things that didn't exist before, to fashion from what God originally made, things that weren't there before. And if you read through the book of Genesis, you see God giving people the ability to forge things from steel, to create musical instruments and all of that sort of stuff. God gave them that ability, but they at some point had a thought, "Hey, I bet you in that rock or in that dirt, there's something we can heat up and make tools out of." Can you imagine that? God gave them the ability, and you the ability, and me the ability to fashion things, to create things that didn't exist before, whether it be for our well-being or for our detriment, for the well-being of humanity or for the detriment of humanity. Look at the world, and there's all sorts of things that have been fashioned and created. Now, again, contrast that with the animal kingdom. I've never heard of a lion dreaming up a tool to make hunting gazelle easier. I've never heard of a cheetah saying, "You know what? I may be able to run fast, but I'm sick of running all the time. How about I build some sort of a vehicle to ride in so I can chase down those gazelle? Make this whole thing a lot less exhausting." Nope. They've just been doing it the same way for thousands and thousands of years, the same way that's programmed into their DNA. Now, they may show their offspring how to hunt a little bit. They may help them improve their skills, but they haven't created anything new. Nothing new for the cheetahs and the lions. I've never heard of a fox or a badger looking around saying, "Man, there's got to be a better way to stay warm in the winter. How about we build a fire? What about some sort of automated centralized heat for this den? And while we're at it, how about redesigning the den so that we have some nice windows facing the lake? A den with a view. I want something like that." Nope. Mr. and Mrs. Fox and Mr. and Mrs. Badger are doing things the same way they've been doing things, seeing things the same way they've been seeing things, operating the same way they've been operating since the time of their great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. They haven't dreamed up or imagined any ways to try and create new circumstances for themselves and for the other badgers and foxes and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. They haven't thought of ways to change what they're doing to try and alter what they are currently experiencing. But again, think about people. God made man in his own image. Think about that for a minute. A creative being who created beings with the ability to do some creating of their own. And as we saw in our last study, where we talked about the sovereignty of God and the will of man, or man reaping and sowing, all of that nifty stuff that people love to argue about, we saw that the choices we make, the things we do, based upon the thoughts we have, because think about it, before we take any action or do anything or say anything, typically we think about it. Now, there are times where we pretty much think we've spoken without thinking, but even those words are coming out of our heart, coming out of our mind. But again, the choices we make, the things we do, what we imagine and dream up, all of it has an effect on us and the people around us, for the good or for the bad. And again, think about the cruise ship in the illustration from our last study together. We saw that each passenger, at least to a certain extent, plays a part in shaping the circumstances and situations that will make their journey either more pleasant and enjoyable or an absolute drag. Which should lead us to carefully consider why it is that Jesus was always encouraging us to love one another and to do unto others as we would have done unto us. Why Paul would say, "Don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good," because what we do has an impact, right? And again, if you missed that audio, give it a listen. And even if you did listen to it, it might be worth listening to again for some encouragement, especially toward the end there. So God the Creator, full of creativity, full of creative thought, creative imagination, I guess you could say. Because think about it, before God spoke and created, he obviously had thought about and imagined what he was going to create, and he knew exactly what it was going to look like and what it was going to do and what it was going to be because he's God. And part of his creative design was to create creative beings different from the rest. And again, as we look around the world, we see the effects of that creativity for the good and for the bad. Isn't it amazing how humanity has created, dreamed up things that can bring so much destruction? Yet at the same time, isn't it amazing to see how human beings have dreamed up, imagined, and then created things that can be a blessing, like a well to pump fresh water up out of the ground? How amazing is that? Heat and cooling, indoor plumbing. Ah, aren't you thankful that somebody dreamed those things up? Praise God for giving them that ability, for creating them with that creative ability. Now, with all of that being said, that brings us to a verse that I'd like us to keep in mind today and every day, because it has to do with the creative aspect that God has given you and me as human beings, and where all of that flows from. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. In the book of Proverbs, we have a wise man writing out what you could basically think of as a letter of advice, counsel, and wisdom to his son. And here's what he says. Here's how it's worded in the Young's Literal Translation. "Above every charge, keep thy heart, for out of it are the outgoings of life." In other words, he's saying guard and protect your heart. Today we would probably use the word mind. Protect your mind. Guard your thoughts. Be careful what you're meditating upon. what you're putting into your heart and mind, what you're dwelling on, what you dream up, what you imagine. Keep your heart. Protect it. Because out of it are the outgoings of life. Or as some translations word it, because out of it flow the issues of life. The issues of life. Man, does our world have any issues? Do you have any issues? I have issues. And as we look at the world around us, we can say, wow, we humans have some serious issues. As we watch practically every news report, we might catch ourselves saying, they've got issues. Today's election day, as you've been hearing the political ads for the last few months, you may be saying, they've got issues. Boy, they've got issues. Yeah, they do. But so do I, and so do you. And rather than looking at the other people who have the issues, maybe when we look in the mirror, we should say, you know what? I've got some issues. So what am I going to do with those? Father, what do you want me to do with those? Here's a way another translation words this verse. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Think of a spring of water. The water just bubbles up from the ground and soaks everything it touches. It just keeps coming and coming and coming, gallon after gallon of water springing forth. And the verse says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So, to kind of paraphrase again, in the context of this being a letter of advice to a son, this dad is saying, son, on top of everything you know, on top of all that I've taught you, when it comes to life and the fruit that sprouts up in yours and the effects it will have on the pleasantness of your journey. Let me pause real quick and say this. This is a father speaking from his own experience, like so many of us talking to our own children. We speak these sort of things to them because we've made our own mistakes and want to help them not to make the same poor decisions, right? So he's saying to his son, on top of everything you know and your life journey you're on, and the pleasantness of it, your relationships, your interaction with the people around you. It's all about things that start in your mind, in your imagination, in your heart, in that deepest part of who you are, what you're dwelling on, meditating on. So guard it, protect it, and use your mind wisely. He's saying, my son, my daughter, unlike a dog, unlike a badger, unlike a swallow or a dove, you have the opportunity to impact the circumstances and the climate of your life to a certain extent. You get to do some creating. And knowing that whatever seeds you sow are what you are going to harvest, be careful what you plant and what you allow to grow in your heart, in your mind. Guard it. Take care of it. Tend it like a good gardener. Do some weeding if necessary. And plant some seeds that are going to be helpful, not hurtful. Because out of your heart are going to flow the issues of life. And as we saw in our last study, the things that flow out of my life will affect you. The things that flow out of your life will affect me. And Paul the Apostle uses a picture of us being the body of Christ. And when one of us hurts, the rest hurt. The things I do affect you, and vice versa. All of these things, it's all intertwined. And this passage tells us to guard our heart, to keep watch over it. Why is that important? Well, for homework, spend some time in Philippians chapter 4, right around verse 8. My name is James Flanders. Thank you so much for listening. Be blessed, my friend. Be blessed.